Well, welcome everyone. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast for Stories for Joshua. It is day three in my writing that I'm doing and continuing on into the podcast. And the title of today is Daddy Never Drank on Sunday. This may seem like an unusual title for a story, but it goes back to a powerful memory in my life. Daddy, which is a deeply Southern term for father, never dad, and sometimes in wealthier families, maybe the term father, but for the most part, it was always mama and daddy. At least that's what I remember. Anyway, I can't remember when daddy started drinking a lot. Maybe he always did, I don't know. But from the time I was six until I was about 16 when he left, I always remember beer being a nightly thing. The standard was Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, a cheap brand at the time. I later heard a joke that someone said they sent a sample of Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer to a vet, and the report came back, quote, "Your horse has diabetes." In other words, Pabst was referred to as horse piss. Anyway, that's the story I heard. That's what he drank regularly. At the end, at least a six-pack a night, except on Sunday. Maybe it was because of the blue law that was enacted in North Carolina at the time. If you haven't heard of it, here's a little history. In 1875, Greenville, South Carolina, their city council passed its first blue ordinance. It forbade merchants, shopkeepers, vendors, barrooms, saloons, and barbers from operating on the Lord's Day, as well as the sale, gift, or barter of spirituous or malt liquors, wines, or ciders. The point being, Daddy couldn't buy beer on Sunday. But knowing that, he obviously could have picked up an extra on Saturday. He wasn't a stupid man. However, he didn't. For me, my sister, and Mama, that meant a day of peace. No fighting, no walking on eggs, no trouble. He was quiet and kept to himself. In the summer, we would go to the beach sometimes on a Sunday. And sometimes at night, we would even play board games together. It was quite a different world for sure. Maybe it was because his daddy, my grandfather, was a Methodist preacher. And grandmama, she was a teetotaler, as they say. But for whatever reason, he didn't drink. We were too young to ask why, just thankful that he didn't. My daddy was a contradiction in terms for all the time I knew him, always going against traditional values and the way people did things. But usually, whatever he did was self-serving. At the time, I had no idea what a narcissist was. Maybe the term hadn't even been invented by that time. But he was the poster child for sure. As they used to say, look it up in the dictionary and you'll find his picture beside the word. Since no one even uses dictionaries anymore, that statement might not mean much, but hopefully you get the picture. In the 50s and 60s, when my sister and I grew up, this was not a time of nurturing for children. You were to be seen and not heard, as they say. So Debbie, my sister, and I did the best we could and got most of our love and approval, if not all of our love and approval, from Mama. I try to do it differently with my kids. As parents, that's what you do. But I think my boys do an even better job than I did. When they come home from work, at some point they have bath time, story time, and bedtime. And I couldn't be prouder of them for investing their lives in their little ones. One of the reasons I wrote the series Stories for Joshua was to show how a loving relationship with parents, grandparents, and the little ones could be so enriching and profitable to everyone. Maybe it's something I deeply desired and wanted to write about so that others might enjoy the experience. I put a picture of the water lilies on my koi pond on today's post to show how, if you nurture our children, their lives will bloom. If you want to see what I mean by the samples I use in Stories for Joshua, go to goodnewspublications.com and you can find them there. Enjoy your day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.